Thanks, Jim. Well, good morning, everyone. Hey, that was a pretty good, robust good morning from the crew at 10:07 in the morning. Aren't you glad to be in Springfield, Missouri, where the weather is always salubrious? Isn't that the word that he mentioned this morning? Yeah, it's great to have you here. I got to come out this morning and I got to see my family before I came in, which was really nice. But on the other side, being here in Springfield, where our offices are located, means I have meetings that I'm going to be going back and forth to today and tomorrow. So you'll see me a little bit in and out. But it's great to be with you this morning. I loved what Dr. Wood shared this morning, and it really just kind of hits what's part of my passion, and I believe is a part of your passion as well, as we endeavor to reach boys and mentor them into the godly men that God sees that they can be. And so it's exciting this morning to get to share with you a few thoughts that we have been working on in the children's ministries area. And what I shared with some people earlier this week in the executive committee is we have really begun to define the children's ministry team, the people who work towards the discipleship endeavors of children in our local churches, and define that leadership team as the leaders, the directors in children's ministry, BGMC, Royal Rangers, and Girls Ministries. So when we talk about the ministry and the direction of where we need our churches to go, those are the people who sit around the table and talk and strategize. And we're even endeavoring to help pass that on into children's ministries around the nation, that as they view their ministry, they don't look just at Sunday morning as the ministry team, but people who oversee all of those ministries, to invite them to the table to talk about what does it mean for us to reach children, to reach families, and ultimately then teenagers and beyond. So these are exciting days. We've also been using some language that we want to begin embedding in our communications about our AG core ministries. If you've been around for a while, you know that we've often referred to favorably ministries like Royal Rangers, BGMC, and Girls Ministries, and Junior Bible Quiz as our legacy ministries, because they've given such an amazing legacy. But that word legacy can also have a negative undertone in some conversations. So we're still believing that they're going to have an amazing legacy, but we're calling them core, AG core ministries, because we believe if you're Assemblies of God, you should be doing what's core to the Assemblies of God. Amen? And we're going to begin assuming that if you're an AG church, you're doing these ministries, and please convince us why you're not. Because we believe in these ministries. We want every church to be doing them. We want leaders to understand them and be a part of that. So these are exciting days. Thank you. And it takes a team who's willing to step up and lay everything on the table and be a part of that team. And so applause also for David Boyd, our BGMC director, Mandy Grote, our Girls Ministries director, obviously Carl Flagg from Royal Rangers, and several others who are on the team but could not be here. So it is a great day to be a part of the Assemblies of God, doing what we do to reach children in our local churches. But I stand before you today a humble man. Humble because there are times in my life, if we could cue some soft music, that'd be awesome, but I didn't prep the guy. So just imagine soft soundtrack in the background right now. There are times in all of our lives, men, where there are moments where we have to validate that we still have our man cards. Do you know what I'm talking about? And I stand here today and I have to say that there are times when I have to surrender my man card. Right? Yeah, what? Here's what it is. Please don't judge me on this. If you are with me in this, stand and we will all pray together. There are moments in my life where I do not mow straight lines. Is anybody here going to identify with me? No. no, my lines are pristine, right? Yeah, there are times when I don't mow straight lines. I am apologetic. I am a bad neighbor. I almost get voted out of the subdivision homeowners association because I'm sure everybody drives by my home and judges me because I have lines that are crooked. But I have a good reason. I have a great reason. Because the yard that I have, when I mow, has rocks and twigs and sticks and tree stumps and lots of things that I don't want to hit the front of my mower to damage the blade and ultimately the engine. Because you know if you're going to mow straight lines, where do you look? You pick a fixed point at the end and you look at that and you get a straight line, right? Any farmers in the house know what I'm talking about. But for me, I am more concerned about the front of my mower than I am about having a straight line. And there's something that's a reality of the ministries that we lead and the churches that we support and what they lead. And the fact is that Wednesday, midweek, Royal Rangers comes every single week. There's some excitement in the room on that. But there's also a sense of sometimes what's going to go wrong, who's not going to show up, what supply closet has been raided by the other ministry to find that what we were looking for the BBs and the guns and everything else we need is now no longer there, right? There are moments in life where the front of the mower is more important than a fixed point down the row. Because if you don't have a mower, you also can't mow your yard. So with good reason, we pay attention to protecting what's in front of us. But we should not do so at the expense of what the long-term impact is of the ministry we lead. What's the long-term impact of week after week after week? And so today I want to propose to you the three M's of children's ministry, or the three M's in Royal Rangers. Did you know that you could spell Royal Rangers with three M's? There are three M's. And I see these as key aspects of every ministry because these are the pieces that don't fix the front of the mower damage that might happen every single week. But they are the pieces that if we can get them right, they will help our rows to be straighter in our ministry. We can have a better long-term impact as a result of keeping these three M's in focus. The first one is to model. Modeling is critical. If we were to take an example and look at how kids learn to ride bikes, really any skill could work for this, but we'll take how kids learn to ride bikes. If a child had never, ever seen anyone riding a bike before on television, out the window, in their neighborhood, and a bicycle showed up in their garage, they probably wouldn't know what it was for or what they would do with it. But every kid that we know of that I've ever seen, when they look at a bicycle, they immediately want to do it. They sense there's a freedom that comes with riding the bike where you want to go, when you want to go, with the wind going through your hair, and all of the fun that comes when we ride our bicycles. But how did they get that desire to ride a bike? They saw somebody else do it first. You see, what modeling is, modeling creates an impression in the mind of the person who will do what we want them to do down the road. Modeling is critical. We have to be people who are living godly examples before the next generation. We have to be people who allow them to see us praying and giving and serving and sharing our faith. We have to let those things be visible. We have to allow people to see this. One of my concerns in the church world today is just, as an example, is what's happening in regards to giving of an offering. If you're like me, when you grew up in the church, you sat probably next to a mom or a dad, and when the offering came, the plate passed by, and what did everybody do? They put something in. Even children would ask their parents, "Can I have something to put in?" But today what happens because of digital giving is that when we receive the offering plate passes by and fewer people all the time are dropping something in. Not because we're any more stingy or less generous than the generations that came before, but because of digital giving. Now, please don't go home and tell your pastor we got to get rid of digital giving. What this means is we have to solve the modeling of generosity for this next generation because they're not seeing it like the generation that came before them did. So we have to equip parents with the right conversations of here's how we tithe. We tithe with automatic deposit. And when you get your first job, we'll help you set it up. Or we tithe because we will give by texting or whatever to the missions program. Or maybe, just maybe, what we could do is when it comes time for offering, trust that we have a big enough God who can help us have a little extra cash on hand so kids see us giving in an offering. I hope that when you go back and you talk to your district teams and your people about Master's Toolbox, that if they ever say, well, I don't ever give to that because my offering belongs in the sanctuary, that you will be pinged just enough to say, I think that you could probably give to both. Because kids need to see us living our faith out loud. So you may ask, well, what age do you start this conversation? I would propose to you that modeling begins before children are ever born. Babies' ears and sense of movement and touch work before they're ever born. In fact, Dr. Brazelton, who several years ago was maybe one of the foremost leaders in brain development in children and infants, did a study on infants to find out how much they could understand audibly hours after they were born. And so he created this contraption, and it was a pacifier on the end of what we used to look at on those old microphone stands that when you remember those kind of silver things that you'd crank around and you'd move and go, "Arr!" into the microphone when they'd move it around to do the special number around the offering time. So he hooked up a little pacifier to the end of one of those, and it had all these sensors and different things in it. And when a baby, and like 2 hours old, had this pacifier in the baby's mouth, he began to play audio towards this baby. And the first test he did was the mother's voice and a stranger's voice. And the pacifier tested the frequency and the intensity of the sucking on the pacifier. And because of that, he could differentiate what the baby was hearing to know, do I recognize something that's going on? Hours old, the baby recognized, no surprise, the mother's voice versus a stranger's voice. Does this give a whole new meaning to, I knew you when you were in your mother's womb? Okay? He did another test. He said, well, let's see if kids can understand, infants can understand language. So he used two stranger voices, one with a language spoken in the home and one with a foreign language. And again, the baby could differentiate between language being spoken in the home and a foreign language. He then did a third test, again on infants, of words with meaning and words that had little meaning, like food, toy, love, and for, because. And again, the infant knew the difference. So when does modeling begin? Modeling begins, we need to be having sessions and classes for parents before their babies are ever born on the importance of reading scripture to their children. On the importance of when your baby is born and they're sitting in a car seat at a restaurant, what are they seeing and hearing in your voices around the table? What do you talk about? Because why? Modeling creates an impression in the mind that at some point will be played out in a behavior. If you've ever held a newborn baby or a young baby in your hands and you've looked very closely at them and you begin to make a face where you pucker your lips, you go like this, and you just stare at them. If the baby is awake and alert, many times the baby begins to make that exact face back at you. Or maybe when you're starting to spoon feed them and you need them to open their mouth, what do you do? Right? You open your mouth as wide as you can, and what does the baby do? The baby also opens their mouth. These are what the brain scientists call mirror neurons. They're in all of us. Just try yawning sometime in the middle of the afternoon and see what happens to the people around you. Modeling is critical. Do we live our lives? Do we help leaders that we recruit to understand that the most important thing that you will ever do as a Royal Ranger leader is live a godly life in front of the next generation? parents should be letting their kids catch them reading the word. Parents should be talking about generosity. Parents should be praying together. Parents should be doing these things. Why? Because the next generation sees that and it becomes normal to them. It is what Christians do. So we model. The second thing that we do is we mentor. Mentoring is one of the anchors, one of the strengths of Royal Rangers and Girls Ministries. But mentoring is when you come alongside somebody and you help them to build confidence that they can do it. So mentoring is critical. If we go back to our bike riding analogy, a child may have seen somebody ride a bike. They want to ride a bike. You give them a bike, and now they've just shed their training wheels and they're going out for the first time on their own. And they begin to ride their bicycle across the driveway and down the sidewalk. What do we do? Do we stand there with crossed arms and wait for them to fall and say, "See, I told you you couldn't do it"? What do? We run alongside them with our hand holding up the seat, don't we? Because we want to give the impression that, "See, you can do this." And then pretty soon when they have it, we start to remove the hand from there. But we don't stop and judge. We continue to run beside them, encouraging them, saying, "You've got it. Keep going. Don't quit." And if they stumble, we get them back up and say, "Try it again." And we keep encouraging them until one time we don't even have to run with them anymore. They continue to ride on their own. That's a picture of mentoring. But sometimes in the church world, we look at things more as perfection than progress. I mean, think about the last time you led a Royal Rangers meeting, and maybe people ask, "Well, how did it go?" And you evaluated the success on how well people paid attention in that moment, rather than, "You know what, this boy today, I saw something happen in him that I didn't see 3 months or a year ago." So let's not become people who evaluate our ministries on just the moment in time, but rather the progress that kids make. So we must be people who will mentor them. We must come alongside and support them and encourage them. It builds the confidence that they will be what God wants them to be. There's some schools in Texas, they're called the KIPP schools. Some of you who are from Texas may be familiar with them. KIPP, Knowledge is Power Program. And one of the things that they do is they speak to children as if they're going to be something in the future. So when you discipline a child, you don't say, "That's wrong, we don't allow that, don't you know the rules?" It is, "You know what, that's wrong, we don't allow that, because one day you're going to college and that won't work there." Immediately correcting the behavior, but at the same time speaking to the life and the future you believe that they will have. These KIPP schools were started for underprivileged children where most of them did not go to college. Now many of them, possibly even most of them, go to college. Many of them have full ride or significant scholarships to get there. Why? Because somebody believed in them. And didn't say, "You're a bad person," and stop and sit down and be quiet. But they said, "You know what, you have to stop, sit down, and be quiet. Because when you go to college, that's not going to be allowed." So what if we began to believe in boys in the same kind of a context? "You know what, you can't act that way, you can't behave that way. Because one day, when you're a Ranger commander, because one day when you're a dad, because one day when the next generation looks to you to be an example, that's the kind of thing that's not allowed." Or on the flip side of that, do those things because that's what this next generation needs. A few weeks ago, I serve at a local church and I partner with their children's ministry. And my son works in the sound booth, and there was a young teenager who was beside him. And the teenager made a comment about my son, who's 10 years old, and he gets to run the projection stuff, and he gets to run the stuff on the screen. And the one comment the teenager made was really bothersome to me, and I could tell it bothered my son. But I told my son, "You know what, here's a chance where you get to be an example to him. Because you have understood what it means to serve." You see, in that moment, I was able to speak life and confidence into my son as a way to mentor him, that God's going to shape him into who God wants him to be. We must be people who mentor. And then that brings me to my third M, which is message. The message is, for us, it's the Word of God. It's the reason why we do what we do. In our bike riding analogy, it would be the rules of the road. It would be how to change a tire, how to maintain your bicycle. It gives the reason for how things are done or why things are done. It's really important that once you have a child who learns to ride a bike, they know which side of the road to ride on and why to wear a helmet and how to signal when they're turning, right? It's critical. Our oldest son right now has his learner's permit. That's a good time. He's learning how to drive, and there are some times when he pulls up to the stop sign, and recently he just kind of rolled right on through, and so I just said, hey, how would you define that stop? Is that a full stop, or is that a rolling stop? He says, well, that's a rolling stop. I said, okay. So if I was a police officer instead of your dad, what do you think I'd want you to say? So we have these times when messaging is critical because it tells us where the lines in the road are and how we obey. There's messages that it's imperative that we share with this next generation. What Dr. Wood shared this morning about the names we call them is critical. God's word is our anchor. It is our message. I hope that every time we gather, the devotions that we lead, the Bible lessons that we share, anchor their faith in the nature of who God is rather than the performance that we must attain to. Because God is faithful, we can be faithful. Because God is just, we should make sure we obey his commands. Because he is good, we can trust he will do good for us. You see, when we anchor our messages in who God is and in his nature, it goes in deep to say there's something inside of me that allows me to be more than I can be on my own. And that's important for boys. Because there's something inside of every single one of us that wants to be bigger than what we think we are on our own. We want to be a part of something significant. We want to make a difference. That's why boys aspire to be superheroes and they look at things like the Avengers and different people because there's something supernatural about them. Well, I'm here to tell you today that when we anchor their faith in the Word of God, the something that is the greatest supernatural being will live inside of them and will help them do more than we could ever think or imagine. So we must anchor their faith in the Word of God. We must teach them creatively, especially the younger children who take these abstract concepts like faith and may have a hard time understanding what that means for them. That's why I love about Royal Rangers as well, because it's so hands-on and there's so many practical things that boys can do. And you, in the way that only you can take those moments where they're working with their hands and you can make a faith lesson come out of that to model for them that our relationship with Christ permeates every part of our being. To mentor them to say, I believe that you can do what God's calling you to do, and then to message by anchoring those things in the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says this, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Let me pause for just a moment and say, how do we know people have faith? What does James tell us? People say they have faith, but they don't have works. I say, show me your faith by what you do. The only way to prove your faith is through action. So as we look at Moses and how Moses was able to do the things that Moses did, I think there's some clues in Amram and Jochebed, his parents. The first one is by faith. They lived their faith out loud. They modeled faith. Remember, Moses was only in their care for about 5 or 6 years before he went to the palace. And Acts tells us he was trained in all the ways as an Egyptian. Their economy, their military, their religion, their language, their history, all the ways as an Egyptian. So how did a 5 or 6 year old boy maintain his faith? We have some clues. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was beautiful. Some translations say he was no ordinary child. Belief. Mentoring. They've modeled their faith. They've mentored him by believing he could be something greater. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. In other words, they trusted the word of God more than they trusted the word of man. You see, in this Bible story right here, these few words in Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, we see modeling, mentoring, and message right there before us. But what happens if one of them's missing? Let's take, for instance, if I think the next slide is message is gone. If all we have is model and mentor, can we hit the next one there? If all we have is modeling and mentor, we don't have the Word of God as a part of this. What we risk raising is good people, moralistic, who believe they can attain heaven by what they do. If we have message and model and not mentoring, I think that's the next one, we have insecurity. Why? Here, look at what I did. And this is what the Word of God says, but we never slow down enough to say, I believe you can do it. We end up with insecurity. And if we have mentoring and message without modeling, what we risk raising is people who are hypocrites. You can do it. I believe you can. The Word of God says you can, but don't ever look at my life because you'll never see me doing it. You see, we've got to have all three of these: model, mentor, and message. And what do we shape them towards? You know, in our children's ministry conversation, we've endeavored to try to narrow things down to some very simple goals that are repeatable, that could be adapted in your environment, but they're starting points for you. So what I would love to have each of you do is to take these eight goals and consider and pray about how you and the leaders in your churches in your district model, mentor, and message these. The first one, and we don't have any slides for these, but the first one is to be powerful in prayer. What does it mean to be powerful in prayer? Do we talk to God about everything? Do we thank Him? Do we spend time on our knees? Do kids catch us praying? And if you were to take prayer as an example, and I'll do an illustration on this that I won't do on the rest so you can get the picture of how this works. If you wanted to model prayer, what would we do? We would probably stand in the front and we would pray so the boys would hear. Or we would do other things where they're watching somebody pray. But if you wanted to mentor prayer, what would you do? Maybe you would hear their needs and then you would break them into small groups and say, pray for one another like we just did at our tables. And then leaders would say, great job praying. And they would encourage them and say, I'm so glad that I got a chance to hear you pray today. And if we wanted to make sure that it was anchored in God's word, we would open our prayer times by saying, you know what? The scriptures say, and then you would fill in the blank with a verse. You see how now you can take that goal of powerful in prayer, and through model, mentor, and message, you've lifted your eyes enough from the front of your mower, what you're trying to protect your weekly ministry from, and you've given just a shot down the road to say, here's how to keep it straight. So if a leader shows up and the copy machine didn't work to make their photocopies, or the supply cabinet got raided, if all they can do is model, mentor, and message, and you give them a goal of being powerful in prayer, they can accomplish something. But the good news is, most of the times, things work. So this becomes the gravy on top of it. So powerful in prayer. The second one is to become responsive in worship. We should be responsive in worship. People who don't confuse the fact that we corporately sing together with my life is an act of worship. So when I give my best on the ball field and when I study hard for the exam, it is an act of worship for the God who's given me the ability to make that thing happen. Our lives should be an act of worship. The third is to be biblically fluent. Biblically fluent is a little bit different in my book than biblical literacy. You might camp on biblical literacy and be just fine. But to me, when I think about it in the version of a language, I can be somewhat literate in Spanish. I can make my way through and stay pretty well out of prison if I'm in a Latin American country by the things I read and the things that I say, because I'm somewhat literate. But if I was going to be fluent in Spanish, the culture begins to permeate how I make decisions and the way I live my life. And we don't want kids just to know the people who are in the scriptures. We want the God who's in there in his nature to permeate their lives so they're fluent in God's word. And it shapes how they think and behave. It becomes the foundation of their worldview. So we want them to be biblically fluent. The third area would be to be spirit empowered. That every child would understand that the Holy Spirit comes in and he fills us and gives us power to be a witness for him. And let us not forget that it is the initial physical evidence. There is a life that is lived after that, filled with spirit empowerment, where God works in miraculous ways today as he did 2,000 years ago. And to be spirit empowered is not just coming to the altar to pray in tongues, but to be spirit empowered is that, and it is having a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge on the playground. And it is praying for your teacher to be healed and see them being healed. That is what it means to be spirit empowered. We also want them to be, a goal number 5 would be to be bold in their faith. We want them to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We want them to be willing to share their faith with their friend. What is their story of how they came to Christ? Quite honestly, I think we sometimes complicate sharing faith because of our own fears and struggles. Kids are natural evangelists. Just watch them get passionate about something and turn them loose. So how do we create an environment where they're passionate about people going to heaven and knowing Jesus as their heavenly Father? And then turn them loose in that. We want them to be actively serving. This is great. Royal Rangers does so many of these things already. It's embedded in the curriculum. We're just drawing attention to some of it. But to be actively serving means we're going to go after others who are maybe marginalized or who need help, and we're going to give ourselves to serve them. We're going to serve people. The 7th goal would be give selflessly, with reckless abandon. Do we believe that God is the source of everything? This is yes. This is no. Do we believe God is the source of everything? So if he's the source of everything, then what he's given to us, we are to steward. And to steward means we manage on behalf of the intent of the one who gave it. So if God has given you resources and you are to steward those resources, what does he want us to do? Well, there's some clues in the Bible. Because he says we're to care for the orphans, the widows, the poor, the marginalized, and the vulnerable. So we should be giving selflessly to make sure that those kinds of ministries are being fulfilled in our churches and around the world. Giving selflessly. And the last thing is to live like Christ. And if you're thinking critically about all 8 of these goals, you might say, well, man, that's everything you've already listed, and you're right. But there are some things that we would define in living like Christ to help bring the focus down a little bit more narrowly. For instance, we want them to understand communion. We want them to be baptized in water. We believe that living like Christ also means living towards the Beatitudes and the fruit of the Spirit. See, there is elements of the Christian faith that would fall under this bucket, and we just say, you know what, this gives you some freedom to grow and imagine what some of the goals might be. But what would happen if every boy in our Royal Rangers ministries and all of our Assemblies of God churches all around the nation had people, leaders, parents, people who are a generation older than them, would take these 8 goals and they would model them. As Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. They would say, be imitators of Christ. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. Why is that? Because there's a little boy who's watching you. So what if we were to model those 8 goals? What if we were to mentor them? I am so glad that you prayed today. Didn't little Johnny do a great job praying? Everybody, let's say thanks, Johnny, for stepping up and praying. Who can't wait to pray next week? Right? We began to mentor them. I believe that God heard your prayers, and you record them, and 3 weeks later you show them. We have a little board in our home where we're writing down prayers, the prayer requests that we have, and we go back to that and say, look, God answered this one. Why? Because kids need to be mentored to know that their prayer works. And what if all across the nation, people understood how to use God's word to embed that faith message inside this generation? So that they give them the reason why. It built the confidence in them so that they could do it. I believe the next generation is primed and ready for leaders to care enough to get down on their level and say, you know what? I'm not just telling you what to do. I'm going to do it with you. We're going to partner side by side and we're going to make this happen. And I can't think of any better mechanism that already exists to make that happen than the ministry that we have. That you're a part of leading all across this great nation and many of you around the world called Royal Rangers. But let's not get so focused on protecting the front of our mower that we forget to lift up our eyes, to look down at the end to say, how can I model, mentor, and message these 8 goals and others for that next generation? Because in the end, we don't stand before our Heavenly Father and say, wow, look at how well you've protected that mower. He's going to probably look at us and say, well done, you mowed a straight line. Amen? Father, thank you for this moment that we have together to be encouraged and inspired. Father, I ask that you would just take and engrave in our hearts how you would have us to live before this next generation. Father, that you would challenge and inspire us, that we could take this message and the truths of the gospel home to our districts and encourage others, that while we still focus on keeping our ministry running efficiently, Father, may we not do so at the expense of keeping an eye down the field to make sure that we're doing what you have called us to do. We love you, Jesus. Amen. We have been talking about these things for several months, and I'd like Carl to come on up with me on the platform and just have a little couple minutes of dialogue about how some things that Carl sees in regards to the 8 goals and the model mentor message and help apply it to the Rangers ministry.
Hopefully, as you have listened to this message, you're beginning to get a sense of what is happening. We're really excited because at the national office, what we believe is, and you've heard us say this a couple of times, we have core ministries in the Assemblies of God. And we recognize that all of us together can accomplish way more than each of us doing our own thing independently of one another. Because when we're having, and you will, as we unfold lead this weekend for you and we go through this whole area, you will begin to see that we have intentionally started looking at how do we work alongside girls ministry and girls ministry alongside of us. How do we share what we do so that, because in a church, they work together. In a church, they need to be all part. How does children's ministry come in and be part of what we do? Because we all work for the same goal, to reach these young people. A few weeks ago, it's been several months ago, we had our Go For It. We had a group of children's pastors, CE directors, and all come to the national office. And we sat down with them, girls ministry, children's ministry, Royal Rangers. And we just had a couple of days of where we just dialogued together. And we said, what is going on and what is happening? And we asked them the questions. And they were, some of them were favorable of Royal Rangers and girls ministry. And some of them weren't. And some of them didn't do them, didn't understand them. And we discovered something that as we, even in our own ministry, a lot of times we did things independently of them, which does nothing but sets up this counterculture and creates this conflict. And we recognize that there needs to be continuity throughout it. And so even here, as you're listening, you're beginning to hear, we're not changing anything we're doing. We're just all becoming very intentional to say it the same way. Because girls' ministry wants to do the same thing that Rangers does, that the same thing that the children's pastors do. And as we start to have this common language, and we start to have this common idea, core ministries, core messaging, we're all saying the same thing, accomplishing the same goal, and all of a sudden, people begin to understand the value of that.
That's right, Carl. Even just to piggyback on that, please. What I just shared with you on the 3 M's and the 8 goals, I've shared now for probably about 6 months in different districts around the nation. At our last Branson event with the CE and children's directors, they heard it. The girls' ministries directors heard it at their event in Branson. You're now the final group of district leadership who will hear it, and we'll be doing it again in Fort Wayne at our children's ministries conference coming up in just a few weeks. So imagine now, hopefully this message begins to permeate our ministries, allowing you to come back and start having some common language to take some ground away from the enemy and take it on the name in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Having just heard what you heard, let me read you something off of our website. We provide men with the tools to model Christ-like manhood as they mentor boys on a faith-based, Christ-centered, spirit-empowered journey to maturity in the faith. Boys learn to apply or study and apply what the Bible says, message about integrity, doctrine, biblical worldview, cultural issues, and manhood. You see, it's already all there. But now what we're doing is, as we're identifying it, hopefully what we're doing is we're putting into your hands some intentionality. Guys, part of the challenge, I face it when I'm in the local outpost, and I know you do, as we go through our weekly ministries with our boys, there's so many things that we have to accomplish. And we know that, I love the focus where we are. We've come back around to where it's not about the awards, and it's not about the camping or the knots or different things like that. Those are all very important because they provide us tools to be able to reach the boy, to engage the boy, to keep the boy engaged, because that's how God wired and how he created a boy. To love the competition, to love to be growing, to go out in the outdoors. And man, God never speaks to a boy as clearly as when you're sitting around a campfire at night and you're having that conversation as they're staring at the logs, and there's no distractions from the world, and boys just begin to open up and talk about their faith. But now what happens is, as in addition to those, we begin to become intentional because we recognize that, you know what, we are modeling. We are mentoring. There is a message. And with these 8 goals, even as you lay those out, and you'll see those on our website as we put them up there, and you begin to recognize them. So now what happens is, we actually have a metric by which we can assess how well we do what we do in Royal Rangers. Am I creating kids that are powerful in prayer? Are my boys powerful in prayer? Are my boys responsive in worship? And we begin to, as we take those 8 goals and apply them to what happens on Wednesday nights, just like we can't do everything in Rangers and all the different pieces every single Wednesday night, but as we become intentional about saying, man, am I teaching my kids to serve, to give, to do all of these different areas? Now we begin to create Christ-like men, the next generation of Christ-like men. And so this is just a way to bring some clarity, to be able to take what we do and do it even better.
Amen. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for what you're doing. We're just so appreciative about the new presence and spirit that's at the national office, and we're moving this together. Amen.